Welcome back, Ducks fans, to the 2025 NHL Draft presented by Honda. And look at this, Marina Park, Newport Beach, California, another stellar day. I'm joined by Guy Hebert, and I'm, of course, your host, Emerson Edom. I look forward to day two, rounds two through seven. So much to talk about, and Guibo, just initial thoughts on day one yesterday. Of course, the Anaheim Ducks picking at number 10. They go for the guy that they wanted, and that's Roger McQueen. So thoughts on yesterday, round one as a whole.
Well, first, as you said, what a beautiful setting to be covering the NHL draft for the Anaheim Ducks. And listen, I think day one went the way most teams expected. I think most teams got the players that they wanted, and we know that the Anaheim Ducks certainly selected the player that they wanted in Roger McQueen. And I think what he brings to this team in the future is that big body center that I think the organization has lacked for the last few years. We'll always talk about who was the last great center in this organization. Of course, that was the captain, Ryan Getzlaff. So as we project forward in the future, I think McQueen could be that similar type of player. But as we talk to the scouting staff, they say that he brings a lot more versatility than maybe a lot of people think. So they said he could be an option on the wing. And if that were to happen down the line, that would be an option to put sometimes the two best players in the lineup on the ice at the same time.
And we were spoiled with who we were joined by. I mean, Scotty yeah. Niedermeyer, right? Henry Samueli, the list goes on and on. Pat Verbeek, we got to pick his brain yesterday as well. So we got so much real-time insight. It just seemed like everyone was sold on Roger McQueen, right? I went back and did a little digging myself.
Did you go and research on me?
I was a nerd. Yeah. I was a nerd last night. I went back, watched even more clips on Roger McQueen, and just to reiterate, things that just jumped out at me. His utilization of his body, keeping that puck to the outside, so his puck protection skills, they rival what looks like Anže Kopitar, right? We know when he's on entry, he keeps that puck to the outside. Players pressuring him, just bouncing off him. So whether it's the puck protection, whether it's the compete level, we continue to talk about his compete level time and time again. I noticed that as well. And just his all-out finishing ability. 10, 15 feet around that blue paint, Guibo. He can finish, he can snipe him, and he can just put him home with ease. So you got to love the confidence. You got to love that big game mentality that he's going to bring. And he is going full in on Lightning McQueen, right? The Cars movie. We see him at Disneyland right in front of the Lightning McQueen car. It's what we want. Guibo, it's what the fans want, and he's already crushing it. So you'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, sometimes the stars align, right? And the right pick comes at the right time for the right organization, and I really think that this is what it is. They have a kid with great character. Listen, we know he has an injury that he's worked through. They know it's something that he's going to have to deal with for his career and be able to manage it. And I think that what Pat said about him was that shows true character. First and foremost. And then on the skill side of it, he's like, listen, this kid's got a little bit of bite. He likes to play with that edge. He likes to play physically. And of course, like his skating ability, which he's working on, but they said, the whole scouting staff said, he is quicker than most people think. So there's a lot of great things about this youngster that I think the fans are going to fall in love with. And listen, I can't wait. And I really hope, this is my own projection, and I can't wait to see him possibly wearing Lightning McQueen number 95. How cool would that be? It's like Disney magic.
I'm praying it happens. I'm praying it happens. Come on, give it to us. We all want it. And
what the fans want, we should receive.
Yes, yes. So
I think
we look forward to all that good stuff. In other news, ginormous news,
yes.
John Gibson to Detroit for Peter Mrazek. We got a 2027 second round pick and a 2026 fourth round pick. Guy, just initial thoughts. We all know me and John go way back, and can't wait to hop on a call with him later and just get his overall thoughts and feelings. But I want to hear from you first. Just overall thoughts and feelings regarding that ginormous trade.
Yes, it's huge. I mean, it's a huge trade. I think it's something that will benefit John in his career. you know, there's been a lot of speculation over the last couple seasons that would he be traded. And when that hangs over your head, you know, we talk about any player, but, you know, he's a longtime Duck, and he's done so much for the organization on and off the ice. And, you know, he's shouldered a lot of work over a lot of years as the team's tried to rebuild. So I know that at times that takes a little bit of confidence away from you. It takes, you know, some wear and tear on your body trying to make sure that, you know, you still play at that elite level. So selfishly, hate to see John Gibson go. I too have a nice relationship with John. I'm part of the goalies union, of course, and he's set, you know, some standards for Ducks goalies to follow that are going to be hard to break. So, you know, he's done an incredible job here. I wish him well. I do think it is a great move for Detroit to get a clear number one goaltender for their organization. And I think that this gives the Ducks an opportunity to move forward with Lukáš Dostál, to move him more into that starter role. And listen, another check comes in. I know that Dosti and Mrazek have a nice relationship. So having two check goaltenders, I think that looks like a nice pairing.
That's a great point, Guy. And I want first off say, John Gibson, we thank you for everything, both off the ice and on the ice, right? A guy that was constantly getting in the community and just did so many good things on the ice as well in a Ducks uniform. And we wish him all the best there in Detroit. Speaking of Mrazek, I had the opportunity, not the pleasure, of playing him in World Juniors in Calgary, Edmonton, my second World Juniors year. And I tell you what, he stole the show. We had Jack Campbell in net. And I tell you what, the better goalie between the two was Peter Mrazek. He made a name for himself in that tournament. He played confident. He took away angles. He plays aggressive. He wants the puck and wants to play the puck. He's a magician as far as stick handling and his overall puck management. And look, he's aggressive. He almost plays that John Gibson style street hockey saves at times, right? The old Dominic Hasek yeah. On the back, and that's fun to watch. So I look forward to seeing Peter Mrazek in a Ducks uniform making big-time saves. And that was a great point, Guy. Just the history between him and the Dostál. Can't wait to see all of that and more starting day one of training camp. Well, the Ducks are set to make their first pick in the second round, pick number 45. So stay tuned for that. The Anaheim Ducks have made their first pick in the second round, pick number 45 of this year's 2025 NHL Entry Draft, of course, presented by Honda. Erik Nilsson is the pick. And Guy, just I want to get your thoughts. He's a Sweden native and overall thoughts so far?
Well, yet another center for the Ducks. That's two in a row. So the Ducks are trying to fill that need in the future for down the middle. And a little bit smaller guy, 6 foot, a little bit lighter, 166 pounds. But again, we always talk about the strength coaches really excited to be able to get these guys in the weight room, the nutritionists making sure they make that. So these guys are going to put on some pounds over the years. But listen, I played against his dad. His dad, Marcus, played in the NHL for 9 seasons, Florida Panthers, Calgary Flames, over 500 games played. So there's a nice pedigree right there. And I think sometimes when you're drafting players, you like to go down that family tree and see certainly a kid that was raised around a hockey rink and certainly with a dad who was successful in the NHL. I think that bodes well for this youngster.
Well, he's a point-of-game player with Djurgårdens Jr., and then he's got some time up in the Swedish First League with assist in 4 games there. So, look, he's got that experience now playing against men, and he showed well. So just judging by some of the clips I recently watched, he's a guy that doesn't have maybe – McQueen's size, but he likes to facilitate around those same areas, right? In the corners, on the hash marks, the flank areas. He's more more of a playmaker in difference to Roger McQueen. McQueen, maybe more of a shot-first type of player. Of course, when you're over a half a goal a game, you're more of a shooter first, as Roger McQueen is. So with this pick here, first pick in the second round for the Anaheim Ducks, Erik Nilsson. Yeah, I view him as more of a disher, a facilitator around the net, though. So this complements some of the picks we've been seeing with Pat Verbeek and his team. Guys with some size, he's 6 foot, he's certainly not undersized, but can get things done in and around the blue paint, right? I think the mentality is it's a quick transition. We heard management, of course, everyone from Henry Samueli on down, right? Thinking playoffs. Everything, playoff hockey, does this player, does their play translate to playoffs? And I think a lot of the picks we're seeing out of Pat and his crew spew playoffs.
Well, and in addition to the skills he brings offensively, he ranks 99th percentile in defensive categories. So here's a player that you're thinking of, a good 200-foot player. You talk about centers being able to adjust to the NHL. They need to learn how to play 200 feet, start in the defensive zone, and be able to react and then jump up into the play. I think that's a really good pick for the Ducks, having another guy who can come in eventually. And listen, we talk about guys, you know, hey, he's maybe a little undersized. Listen, 18 years old, I know I was still growing. So I think these guys are still projected to get maybe a little bit taller, put on a little more weight. And again, as, you know, they develop, and one thing I do love is when these Swedish players are playing in those Swedish elite leagues, they are playing against older players. So it's not it's not foreign to them when they get to North America and start playing against some older players.
Well, it's no secret the success that the Anaheim Ducks have had selecting Swedish-born players, right? You think of Rickard Rakell. You think of William Karlsson. You think of guys all the way down the line, Jakob Silverberg. I mean, guys that are Sweden-born and natives of Sweden that come over to the Anaheim Ducks have great careers. So the list goes on and on. Everything so far, we're still getting to know Erik Nilsson, but all signs point to him being a very productive member for the Anaheim Ducks for years to come. So, Guy, why don't you say we, kick back, relax, enjoy these next couple of picks, and wait for the good guys to pick again here shortly.
Yeah, we'll put the work on Pat Verbeek and crew, and we'll sit back and see what transpires in the next couple of rounds.
Can't wait. We are back with a very special guest, Jan Danielsson, who has some great insight into Erik Nilsson, who was the Anaheim Ducks' 45th pick in this year's draft. And Jan, why don't you just maybe share a couple thoughts on this young player that we're bringing in and what excites you about him?
You know what? I think it's a really good pick. I'm so happy getting Erik at where we got him. He's been a good player in the Swedish Junior League and on the Junior National Team now for a couple of years. And he is a good, skilled playmaker, can play both ways. He's good defensively, and he can add points, and he's strong on the power play. He's a little bit of a late bloomer physically, just like his dad was. His dad played in the NHL, Marcus Nilsson, and had a good career, and he was the same. I coached him at the junior national team level, and he was a little bit on the small, weak side, but he got strong, and he a very competitive player, and his son is the same way.
Well, I had a chance to play against his dad during my career, and so, you know, that memory bank of an old goaltender, I remember a lot of guys. So certainly the pedigree is important for, you know, a kid who grew up around the NHL.
Yeah, it is. And he's like his dad. You know, I like him a lot. I like the character and the competitive edge along with his skill level.
And his plans are now for next season to attend U.S. college, correct?
Yes. I think that's a good route for him. His team, Djurgården, made it to the SHL, the top league in Sweden, and it's hard to make that team at a young age, and I think it's a perfect route for him.
Jan, it seems as if, we're getting different reports on his weight. We've seen 156. We've seen some at 166. Can you clarify on his as far as his weight right now?
I think it's around 166. When I talked to him, he had gained some weight already over the summer, and that's his primary goal over the summer, to get stronger and gain a little bit of strength.
And just by watching him, it almost seems like he looks larger than that. He doesn't look quite, that 166 number. It's almost like he presents a bigger frame than that just by watching him. It seems as if he's maybe more of a pass first guy, a facilitator. He likes to be on those hash marks and in the corners, really getting his head up and waiting for his line mates to find those dead spots. Can you just elaborate a little bit more in depth on his vision and the type of overall player he is?
Well, I think you're right about that. His vision, his ability to make plays in tight areas is really, really good. I don't see anybody that's better actually in the draft right now. I think that's his forte. That's what he does really well.
Great news.
Well, and I know that we get great stats over here, but so it looks like he was in 99th percentile in the defensive.
Yeah, I did see that.
Right?
That's good news.
It's great news. So you're looking for a 200
foot. I didn't have those numbers, but that's outstanding.
But a 200 foot player who can play center is obviously very important in the NHL these days.
Yeah, no, he's a modern type player. I think we'll be so happy with him in the future. I think it's a very good pick.
Well, Jan, appreciate you taking the time to join us, and congrats on your selection, Erik Nilsson. I look forward to seeing all the big things he's going to do here in Anaheim.
Should be good. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Well, Gibo, the Anaheim Ducks have made their second pick of the day, and they draft with the 60th overall pick in the 2025 NHL entry draft presented by Honda. Lassi Bolius, a Finland native defenseman. Looks like he's got some decent size to him, 6'1", listed currently. And just by watching him, look, he can skate. It looks like he's got confidence at the blue line. It looks like when he has an opportunity, a lane at the net, he can find that puck through and just make sure that he's doing a lot of good things out on the blue line. So just a few points from you. What do you know about him? It looks like a solid choice in my eyes.
Yeah, well, he's the first Finn off the board. And like you said, I think it comes down to players that are developing at that age, the things that are innate. And I think that is what he does, is he's got great vision of being able to put the puck on the net. You know, we talk about guys, even like an Olin Zellweger, who's not using the big slap shot from the point. He's smart about getting the puck through traffic when he sees traffic get to the front of the net. And I think that this is what we're going to see from this youngster. And I'm looking at some of these, you know, grades, right? He's got 6 in skating, 5.5 in shooting, 4.5 in passing, 5 in puck handling, 4.5 in hockey sense, and 4.5 in physicality. So, the great thing is, like, these kids are all like clay. And the scouts are going to bring them in, then the coach is going to be able to work with them, and they're going to kind of help mold them into the players that they want based on their skill level. And so I think this is going to be a great opportunity to fill the cupboard again with a nice prospect on the D-line.
Yeah, he's playing for the storied franchise there out of Finland, Asat Pori, and he's got a couple assists in the small amount of games that he's played, but it looks like he showed well on the international stage. It looks like a lot of the solid clips of him making big-time plays was playing for Team Finland. And once again, it seems as he does a lot of things well. It seems like his stretch passes, his first passes out of the zone, crisp, clean. He gets his head up, and it looks like he can skate. Very efficient skater. So I think a lot of good from Bolius, once again, being picked at number 60. So I look forward to seeing this group so far, right? Of course, we got Roger McQueen yesterday in the first round. He's making those rounds, and he's – every second since getting picked, he's definitely figuring out what it's like to be a National Hockey League top pick. That's for sure. Quite the last few hours for him. But it's just another pick another guy off the board, and it's all coming full circle. I just think all the picks are addressing needs, yet they are picks that, you know, like even the first pick in the second round for the Ducks, a guy that maybe should have been squeezed in the late first few picks in the first round. It seems as if decently deep draft. We saw the production out of those first 10, 15 picks, right? So, look, there's going to be some diamonds in the rough, as we discussed in yesterday's broadcast, that, look, it's crunch time. Teams are addressing needs, and I think this is no different for the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, we talked about it yesterday about, you know, guys that might slide to the second round, and it could be a real benefit to them, right? They fall into the right situation with the right organization that they fill a need for that team. So I think this is a great pick. It's a departure from the first two picks, which were both centers. Now they're addressing a need on the blue line. And, you know, you talk about all the great young defensemen that are currently in the system. And, you know, when you're picking another 18-year-old, that allows them to develop. That's the thing, is he doesn't have to be rushed. And I think that's a key thing, is when you've got veteran guys in Anaheim, you've got a stockpile of good young players that the Ducks have in their system on defense, that this is someone that they can take their time and let them develop without having to rush them into the NHL.
The more and more we dive into the game of Lassie Bolius, the more we like it. Pick number 60 in the 2025 NHL entry draft, going to the Finn. Anaheim Ducks management all extremely happy about their pick, and so much more to come. So looking forward to it all. The Anaheim Ducks have made their first and only pick in the third round, 72 overall, and that's Noah Reed. So a Canadian born, and more specifically St. Catharines, Ontario native. He just won some hardware with the London Knights of the Ontario Hockey League. Yes, bringing home the Memorial Cup. So all the clips I've seen, Gibo, he looks like quite the player. And just want to get some insight from you on what you've seen of Noah so far.
Well, I sound like a broken record, and I think I said it yesterday. The Ducks continue to go and look for centers. And once again, another center. And, you know, I love stats. I'm a stat guy, so I love to dig deep. But, you know, really, this is what the scouting department is saying about him. He's an intelligent, detailed, and high-speed transition player who didn't get many opportunities. Played on such a great team in London, of course. So I think that they're looking at the upside of this player to what he can develop into. And I think it's kind of interesting to see. Another six-foot type guy. Not as big as McQueen, but certainly in that range where, you know, kids are still growing and developing. He's only 170 pounds. But I love the fact when they say detailed oriented, great in transition. That means that forwards, especially centers who are able to work both ends of the ice, I think that's those things that the scouting department was looking for. And again, so many times all you hear about is trying to develop guys when they get to the NHL to be a 200-foot center. And I think a lot of players, if they learn that position early, man, that really benefits them as they move on from junior eventually to the pro ranks.
And I think a good comparison, really, just by watching some of the clips is, look, you lose Trevor Zegras, right? But he almost looks like, well, similar in stature. He can really rip the puck. I mean, a great finisher, a pinpoint shot, and it looks like he can play more of a goal line player on the power play, or he can play that half wall flank position as well. So from what I've seen, very versatile, but he can put pucks home, in particular off the rush, top of the circles area. He was sniping many of those, and it's just icing on the cake, right? For a guy to not only make it to the Memorial Cup, he's only got 1 year in the Ontario Hockey League, but it's almost expedited in a sense. You go to an organization, a historic franchise in the Canadian Hockey League, the London Knights. You got to learn so much, right? There, the type of players they had, of course, Dickinson there on the back end, high pick for the San Jose Sharks last draft, right? So they won the hardware. He learned a lot. you figure. And boy, can he shoot the puck. So he's very versatile in that sense. I couldn't agree more with what management has said about him. So he can shoot. I think he's got so much room to grow and develop. He played in the GOHL, which is a junior A there in Ontario the year prior. And so I think he's just getting started, right? And look, I think this is a great pick. 26 points in 45 games. He didn't play a ton of games this past season, but boy, when you're playing for a franchise like the London Knights, you got to figure that he learned a lot. So yet another quality pick. Love his game. I think management, Pat Verbeek, did it yet again in round three. So Noah Reed, congrats on being a member of the Anaheim Ducks organization, and enjoy it. We look forward to much more to cover here in the next little bit. We're back at the 2025 NHL Entry Draft Day 2. Of course, rounds 2 through 7, all presented by Honda. And we have, yet again, Martin Madden. We had him yesterday. He's back for a little follow-up with more details on who the Ducks have selected over the course of today. So, Martin, I'm just going to go through a few players. Now, we already talked about Erik Nilsson a little bit earlier. We talked about Lassie Bolius a little bit earlier as well. So I wanted to get your take on, starting with Noah Reed, who was drafted after those two. Just a couple points in regards to Noah Reed's game.
Noah was playing on a juggernaut in London, right? So he was stuck on the third, fourth line for much of the year. Jim and Steph had the chance to see him in a few games just before Christmas when all those guys were gone to the World Juniors on the second line, and right before playoffs when they rested some guys. Really passionate about this player. He's a competitor. He's just starting to grow. His family is huge. Like, this kid's not done growing. He's 6'6", 170. We expect him to be over 6'2 by the time he's done. Just a complete game. He's got good sense. He's got good skill. He's a really good skater already. But what we like the most about him is his competitive drive.
And Noah was, of course, taken with the 72 overall pick. How about Drew Schock? He's a guy picked fourth round, 101, defenseman. Can you elaborate a little bit on his game?
Another one who's a late grower, big family. He's just around 6 feet right now. He keeps growing. One of the two leaders on that national development team program. As you know, they had a really tough early season schedule, college heavy, and it took a while for the team to come together because the competition they faced early in the season was really difficult. After Christmas, this kid was awesome. All the way through to the U18 World Championship, he led their squad from the back end. He's really mobile. He's got great confidence with a puck, really good hockey sense. He just needs to get stronger.
And the pick not too long after that, netminder Elijah Neuenschwander. Just a couple key pieces to this game.
My favorite part of the show, exactly. By the way. I knew Sudsy had to get one in there.
Exactly. So with multiple picks in the fourth and fifth, we had targeted this area for a goalie. Sudsy and Pavel Ruta, our Czech scout, love this kid. Lanky, mobile, calm, really good sense of the game. He just needs to get a little bit more athletic. He reminds me a lot of Damian Clara in terms of where they are in their development and the long road ahead, to get to the NHL. But this kid's going to play pro next year in Switzerland.
And as you mentioned, lanky's got some size to him, 6'4", Guy, just you being a goalie, yeah. you want to touch on him?
Me being non-6'4",
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Games. New generation of goaltenders is we like to see them being athletic, of course, having that mobility. But, I mean, really, frankly, it's the size to be able to take up a good portion of the net. I know with the goaltending styles now, it's just being able to push and get to the point of release, try to beat the pass. And I think for young goaltenders, it's all about gaining experience and getting a chance to play more games. And, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes at that level and trying to learn from it.
And completely agree.
And next we have Alexis Mathieu, out of Quebec, defenseman. So just back and forth between forwards, defensemen, getting some good depth at both. Just a couple points in regards to his game.
Well, I said yesterday that we wanted to draft players that our scouts were passionate about. Steph is very passionate about Alexis' game. Reminds us of Simon Benoit. You know, he's a late bloomer, played bottom double A, midget double A before making the jump to major junior. He's a 6'3", over around 210. He's a really physical, aggressive defender. Simple, mobile. Don't expect him to be on the power play, but he'll make you pay the price.
And a fellow Quebec native, Emile Guité, getting selected not too long after Alexis. Just a couple points in regards to Emile's game.
Yeah, we're taking a swing here. Emile was a second overall pick in the Q 2 years ago. He had 60 points as a 16-year-old in Chicoutimi 2 years ago. I saw him play in the playoffs against Moncton that year. He was awesome. Like, he was one of their best player. And he didn't deal with the pressure of this draft year as well as he'd hoped. Production was down. They wanted him to play a different style. He had some issues adapting to that, but they believe in him. We believe in him. He's got really good hockey sense, outstanding hands, great shot. I'm sure our development staff will help him get over the hump here. And he's got top two line upside.
Well, that's the question. You think this, sometimes the kids put so much pressure and emphasis into that draft year where, and you can't blame them. I mean, right? They feel like they're under a microscope at all times. And then if things aren't going the way they want, especially early in the season, they start to press. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's self-defeating, because the harder they seemingly work, the more it seemingly goes against them. So it's almost, I don't know, like an answer to a prayer where I get drafted. And then you take that sigh of relief and say, okay, I'm wanted by a team and I can move on. And now I can really start working on my craft.
Yep. And get the support you need to get through those humps. You know, maybe that was lacking a little bit for Emile. We'll be there for him moving forward.
And maybe you can classify the next young man I'm about to discuss, Anthony Elaine Samake, as maybe a little bit of a late bloomer, right? Played NCDC prior to this past season. So round six, pick 168. Elaborate on his game.
Again, passion from our scouts. Gabri Switai and Steve Lyons love this kid. They were on him all year long. Really mobile, athletic defender. Some offense, more of a puck mover kind of defenseman, going to a good program at UConn, a long path ahead. You know, we see him developing there over 3-4 years, and that's what you want with a sixth round pick. You know, some runway and a thesis of why he's going to get better and good enough to play pro.
And round seven, the last pick for the Anaheim Ducks at number 200, Brady Turco. Going back to the forward end.
Yeah, Rogers' teammate, Bruce Franklin's been on my case for 3 months to make sure that we've got him on the radar. Brady, you know, a little bit like Noah, Brady was on a pretty good team. He makes the draft by only a few days, really young. Also, big family. He's going to get bigger. He's got big hands, big feet. He's got a really good sense. The opportunity was average for him in Brandon this year. So that's why he's a little bit under the radar. I got to see him play one outstanding game that stands out in my mind. And Bruce's passion convinced me that he's worth our efforts to support him and to getting to be a pro.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to think that as these players are being drafted and they're playing on teams that – you know, they're not the star players. Mm-hmm. But you hope that they become those star players in the next couple of years. So, you know, I'm a product of a scout in St. Louis being passionate about me. And he went to Ron Caron at the time.
Yep.
And sold Mr. Caron on, we have to draft this kid. And he basically staked his whole reputation on me. And I'm sure you guys are dealing with that all the time in there. We don't know, maybe, whatever. And you sometimes have to trust your scouting staff to say, okay, he's watched him countless times, and we're going to take a chance on him. So I love the fact that those guys stand up for players like me and get an opportunity. And then I'm telling you, when you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder being a later draft pick, sometimes that goes a long way in trying to prove yourself.
Oh, completely agree with that.
Well, that's a wrap with the assistant general manager for the Anaheim Ducks and also director of amateur scouting, Martin Madden. Martin, thanks again for joining us, and congrats from rounds one all the way to seven. Looks like you satisfied with all the picks. So we look forward to them donning that nice orange, and look forward to all the successes with all these players.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. The Anaheim Ducks number 10 overall pick joins us, and Roger McQueen, first off, congratulations. We look forward to just seeing you suit up and don this great jersey of ours at Honda Center here soon. And just when your name was called there last night, I mean, overall emotions, your initial reactions to being picked by the good guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I was in shock at the start. I mean, it's just such a build-up. I mean, being so young and dreaming about getting drafted one day and playing in the NHL. I mean, I was kind of in shock at the start, and then kind of started to soak in a little bit. Well, actually, another shock. I was on a helicopter on the way to Disneyland. But it was amazing. I mean, I was so happy to go to a team like this. I mean, looking at it over here, the experience I've had has been ridiculous and top-notch. And I mean, meeting with all the coaches and staff there and scouting staff at the combine, I mean, they were awesome people and like super respectful, and just meeting with them was phenomenal. So I was really rooting for that. So I
know every guy is sitting there waiting to hear their name called. I mean, it's a moment we never forget, right? We've all had that experience. First, did you go kind of where you thought you might go, top 10, or was that a surprise to you?
Honestly, it's obviously a tough call with the injury I dealt with this year, so it's a little bit up in the air. I mean, I was honestly not too worried about where I was going. I was so excited to go to a team and just looking forward to whoever drafted me, just getting to camp and kind of getting on the ice with the guys and meeting everyone. So I was more so just excited and getting ready. But obviously there's the want to go as high as you can, I guess. But I was more so just excited to kind of get going and have my family and friends there to watch me and get behind me. So I was just pumped. So
in other great news, your good buddy Brady Turco, and not only good buddy, but your teammate there in Brandon, he gets drafted by the Anaheim Ducks, seventh round, pick number 200. Just how happy are you for your buddy, and how excited are you to potentially link up with him here in the coming years?
No, I can't even tell you. He's one of the best guys I've met, and I mean, on the ice, he's so skilled and just one of those guys that you know what you're getting with every game. And I mean, I couldn't say enough good things about him. He's a great teammate too, and I think I know he'll be so ecstatic and pumped. I talked to him on the boat there when we were getting back about coming here, and he's so happy and pumped. So I mean, I'm the happiest guy in the world for him. I think he's a great guy and a great guy to add to this organization. He brings not only on the ice but off the ice. He's a phenomenal guy, so I'm pumped for him.
Well, listen, I know you alluded to the fact that you got drafted, you got whisked away to a helicopter. Now, a lot of people might not know if they're not avid social media followers. So, like, walk us through the day, you know, drafted on the floor, all of a sudden Alex Gilchrist and his team are bringing in a helicopter. It kind of just, you know, from that moment to getting to the boat to getting here, how special was it? And did you get to share it with all of your family?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, talking to everyone, it's never really happened before, and everyone is kind of still in shock from it. I mean, so got drafted. It kind of did a 5-minute media just run through, and then I got told I was on a helicopter off to Disneyland, which I love Disneyland. I kind of turned into a kid there when I'm there, so I love that. And I got to bring, I think there was 14 people there that came, so we brought all the nieces and nephews, and my sister's the young one, so they loved it too. And then I went to go see Donald Duck and take some pictures in front of the castle, and then went to Cars Land, obviously, which was phenomenal, and that was pretty cool to see everyone there, and obviously Lightning McQueen too, to take a couple pictures with him. And then I found out I was going on a yacht today, so it's unbelievable. I mean, even on the yacht we saw a flock of dolphins. I think like 50 or 60 of them drove or came right by us, so that was pretty cool too. And then last night I got to come back for a bit and see the rest of my family too, and be able to have their support and kind of celebrate with them in the sense. So it was awesome. Last 20 hours have been ridiculous, and nothing better I could ask for.
So, and just so you know, we've lived here for a while. This is just a normal weekend.
I've heard
here in Newport Beach, California. So, we're sorry that we couldn't get a better day for you and a better experience.
No, it's unbelievable, and yeah, I've heard it's one season here all the time. So, I couldn't say enough. It's like heaven here right now. So, especially from Saskatoon, it gets real cold when sometimes. So, but no, it's awesome.
And do you have a message for Orange Country and Ducks fans worldwide? Maybe what's at the top of your list as far as excitement here in this next stretch?
I mean, yeah, I'm ecstatic to be here. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you see me walking around, I'm an easy guy to talk to. I'm always in usually a good mood, so I'll come up and say hi. But yeah, as far as hockey, I mean, I want to win the cup. That's what I want to do, is kind of bring that here. And I think, talking to some of the guys, I know a couple draft picks here, and they're awesome. And I think what you guys have built here, as far as young core and what you guys are building towards, is ridiculous. And I think you guys are the best at that right now. So I'm pumped to be here, and I'm ready to go. So it's fun.
Well, you're a nice guy, and you're a good guy, because you're a Western Leaguer, right?
Western Leaguer with a little bit of a mean streak that Pat Verbeek shared with us. So that's always a good thing. You know, maybe the next Ryan Getzlaf sitting next to us.
And even though I played for the Medicine Hat Tigers, I know Brandon is right. It's a rival there on the Eastern Conference, but nonetheless, you're Western Hockey League guy. Couldn't be more thrilled to have you a part of the Anaheim Ducks. So thanks for joining us, and good luck the next stretcher.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. And I also could not be more happy to be here. So it's awesome. Thank you so much.
Congrats again.
Yep, thank you. Congratulations.
Erik Nilsson, the Anaheim Ducks second round pick at number 45 overall, joins us.
Now, is this a team that you thought you knew might be looking at you to make this draft?
No. My thoughts were going yesterday. That's, I think, everyone's thought that they wouldn't go in the first round. But
yep.
That when I didn't go, I just got the mindset that I want to go to somewhere nice today. And Anaheim was definitely one place that I wanted to go.
And you played in Jeer Gardens, both in the junior team and the first team. Maybe talk a little bit about the adjustment needed to go from the junior level. You put up some big-time numbers there. And then going up to the higher level senior team. Just talk about that adjustment, because you're probably going to obviously face a similar adjustment from where you're at now to hopefully the NHL ranks.
Yeah, it was just a cool time to be up with the 18. That's also a dream come true, to play for the team in your heart. But it was not that big of a difference from the junior to the 18. It was more like you meet bigger guys, and they're much stronger, faster, but they're not more skilled than the young guys. But the difference was just like being more like, play the easy game. Don't always do what you think you're right to do. Just do the, like, follow the game book and do the easy things. That was the biggest adjustment.
So I had a chance during my career to play against your dad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, growing up with dad in the NHL, how much did he teach you throughout the course of, you know, your young life? And do you emulate any part of your game after how your dad played?
He helped me a lot. He has been my coach for almost like 10, 12 years. So he has helped me a lot. But I take something of his grit and winning mentality and, like, how hard he's want to win, that I bring to my game. But then I'm not see him as quite the same player as me. I'm more skilled and better on the skates.
I was going to say, yeah.
He was more physical four.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
And you talked about the grit in your game, matching your father's. Is there any other things you want to highlight within your own personal game that you think would excite the fans here in Anaheim?
My hockey sense, how smart I am out on the ice, and that make me doing my team is better, always doing them better too, so we as a team gets better and win.
Now, are you familiar with any of the current Ducks players or any of the current draftees that you've played with or against?
I know Leo quite a bit. We played in the same team in Sweden. He played for the A team, I played for the junior team. So we've been seeing each other sometimes, but yeah.
Well, it's always nice to have a connection with someone that when you get drafted and you look and you're like, I've played against this guy, I know this guy, or at least there's, you know, some sort of camaraderie, because it always makes that transition a little bit easier when you have someone that you can talk to.
Eric Nilsson, the Anaheim Ducks second round pick, number 45 overall. Thanks again for joining us, Eric, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks.
Yeah, best of luck and congratulations.
Thanks.
It's awesome.
Scott McQueen joins us, the father of Ducks' first pick in the 2025 NHL entry draft presented by Honda. Of course, Roger McQueen. And look, what everyone's been talking about Roger on the ice, but you're his father. Maybe shine some light on him off the ice.
Sure. Well, obviously his dad, you know, there's a whole bunch of things at home that he annoys us all about. But, you know, to be honest, he's a really good kid. I've always said I don't know if Roger will love anything more than his friends. And he's a respectful kid who likes to, you know, a big part of his hockey is being, you know, a good teammate, being at the rink, hanging out. You know, he's always trying to organize things. And, yeah, he's a nice kid. And, you know, as a parent, you hear that lots from other people, so it's a really cool compliment. You know, you lots of, oh, he's a good hockey player, but we also get lots of, you know, he's just a nice guy, and he's good with kids, and yeah, he's a good teammate. So,
well, certainly, you know, he's faced some adversity in his hockey life with an injury, and you know, but we all know that that's an opportunity to show character and what you're really made of, and I'm sure that he's shown that to you, and of course to the hockey community, and certainly to the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, you know what? It was a long year. I feel it was a long year for me. I didn't want to. I have nothing to do. But you
know, stress is apparent. Believe me, I know. I get it.
I know. He, you know what? He was great through it. I mean, he came home a little bit. It was nice to have him home. You know, he's got two little sisters, and you know, you play junior hockey, and then you go play pro hockey. You're not around very much anymore, so it was nice to get him home. And he always wanted to go back. You know, he wanted to go back. He'd sit on the bench for practice and, you know, be part of the team. And, you know, he'd love doing that. And so, you know, I know it was hard on him, but, you know, he kind of battled and, you know, figured out, like, hey, you got to be, it is what it is, and let's go from there and see what happens.
And going back to Roger's younger days, early on in youth hockey, I mean, is there one time when he was a certain age that you said to yourself, he's gonna make it far, he's gonna be an NHLer, is there something that he did or he said that warranted a reaction from you that he's gonna go far in the sport?
You know, kind of, there's times where, you know, like small detail things in hockey that, you know, you wouldn't teach a little kid, and I was like, oh geez, you know, you play hockey, and that was kind of interesting. You know, he's a bit shocked that he'd do something a little bit more mature than what his age showed. And, you know, we had another kid, you know, Roger's one of his best friends is Berkeley Cat, and was drafted 8th overall. And those two, you know, they live really close. And, you know, everywhere we always went, those two were really good. And so you start to think, you know, like, you know, these are two real nice players. And both of them, they're really mature. I mean, they're immature off the ice. It's like kids are supposed to be, you know, playing around and goofing around. But on the ice, they showed a lot of maturity, which is, you know, stuff that you don't, you know, you try to tell them as a parent. But, you know, just a small hockey play that maybe, you know, most kids aren't, you know, we haven't shown anybody how to do that. But it just kind of came naturally. So, I mean, he was really gangly as a kid. You know, he had really good hands. Sometimes he'd, you know, go to the face-off circuit, might wipe the referee out, you know, trying to stop there. But, you know, then he'd get the puck and he could, you know, really do things with the puck. So I think, you know, at a young age, you know, you never want to say anything, but you're thinking as a dad, like, oh, maybe there's something here. So, yeah.
Now, I all of us ever wanted to play in the NHL, and we grew up and we always had, at least I know most people, emulate their game after someone. Yeah. And, you know, you start thinking the kids are drafted at 18 years old and how young they really are. But is there anybody that, you know, he always kind of looked up to and said, you know, I want to model my game after so-and-so?
He kind of just – he always – we'd argue all the time about hockey players, but he – and then I'd catch him being on my side when he was arguing with his buddies about it. So it's kind of – you know, but – I was always a big Detroit Red Wing fan, and just growing up, that's what, you know, I didn't know any better. My dad liked the Red Wings, so I liked the Red Wings, and so Roger liked the Red Wings. And so, and when he started to get a little bit older, it was kind of like the, you know, like the Pavel Datsyuk, you know, Henrik Zetterberg era. And he was, I mean, it's part of the reason he wear, you know, number 13. I was always telling him, I think, you know, this Pavel Datsyuk guy's pretty good. He's, you know, that's how you want to play hockey. He's the best player in the world to me at that time. And so he started to really, you know, that's who he, you know, loved. And I mean, his body's a little different than Pavel Datsyuk's, but, you know, that was always his favorite player too. And then, you know, it kind of came from, you know, my favorite player. And I was always telling him, you know, this is how you got to, you want to play hockey, you want to try and play hockey like this guy.
Well, yeah. You've seen Roger play, going back to his earlier days, more than anyone. And what are some attributes that you're very appreciative within his game?
You know what? I didn't know if he'd be, I guess, you know, use the term, I know you play, like he became a little, like, nasty. You know, and I didn't know if he had it in him. And you want that as a, you know, you want to have an all-around game. You want someone that, you know, can score and play, you know, play the defensive side of the puck. But then you also, as a dad, you know, you kind of, you know, you want to get a guy that can maybe beat somebody up at the park, you know. And so it came late. And, you know, he surprised me a few times, you know. And now he, you know, he learned, I don't know where he learned it, but he has it a little bit. And I think that, like, you know, the skill and everything else is cool, but I, you know, I appreciate the fact that he's not scared and, you know, as you know, will do whatever he can to help win, whether that's, you know, scoring or maybe, you know, mixing it up or whatever. So I think that this is a nastiness to him that, you know, he doesn't look like that, but he has it in him, and I appreciate that, I think, which is kind of a weird answer as a dad, but, you know, it's something, yeah.
Some great insight.
Yeah, so, I mean, with all the teams in the league, you know, we always kind of speculate where you might land, and I actually asked him, I said, did you land where you thought you might in number pick? And he's like, well, you always want to go as high as you possibly can. We know from experience, and that's what you learn later in life, it's not really what number you're picked at, it's really the team that selects you.
Yeah.
And where they are, and do you feel like this is a really good fit for his skill set, the direction of the Ducks, where they currently sit and where the team is poised to go? New coach, Coach Quenneville, Chris Kreider the other day in a trade, you know, moved Trevor Zegras out the other day. So there's some big trades and changes to this organization. So do you think that bodes well for your son kind of fitting in that, you know, the Ducks have always been looking for that big center to fill Brian Getzlaff's shoes?
Yeah, I mean, no matter where you go, eventually you're going to have to make a team, right? And there's no, you know, there's no freebies anymore. And, I mean, for him, yeah, we're just, you know, I don't know where I saw it, on Twitter or something, that, you know, they didn't need to rush him. And, you know, for us, you know, he's a big guy. You know, he's still under 200 pounds, but he's, you know, almost 6'6 or whatever. And so I'm just happy that, you know, it's a, you know, the right process to get him to his body where it needs to be. And then, you know, once that's there, then, you know, it's not a rush here. And it, I mean, I don't know, everybody treats you so well here. I mean, I know that everybody's probably treating their players and their families well, but this has just been wild for us. So, you know, it just feels like it feels the right natural fit, you know. And I always told him, I said, you're going to go where you go and you know you're gonna go to where you're supposed to go, and whatever number that is, and this seems unbelievable. So,
Scott McQueen, ladies and gentlemen, Scott, thanks for joining Guy and I, and just all the best to you and your family, and congrats to Roger and his future successes.
No, thank you very much. This is yeah, you don't ride a helicopter and then get on a yacht, and I have nothing but. I can go home. I don't know how I'm going to work on Monday, but I'm going to tell everybody how great this is. Yeah, so I appreciate everything.
Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you very much. Yeah, take care. Thank you very much.
So much fun here at the 2025 NHL Draft. presented by Honda, and not too many lows. There, for that matter, there's been no lows. All highs.
I was going to ask you, like, what lows are you talking about?
There have been no lows, Guy. It has been so much fun. I've loved having you to my right this whole time. And I got to say, I don't even know where to begin, right? All I can say is I know upper management from Pat Verbeek and his team, they got the guys that they wanted and set out to get. And I just feel that everyone has a good feeling for who the Ducks selected rounds 1 through 7 in this year's draft.
So what you're saying, we believe it's a success. And I think that's really what it was. I think Pat and Martin accomplished what they set out to do. I think the scouting was tremendous once again. The work that they do that no one ever sees comes out today, right? This is kind of their Super Bowl where they get to select the players that they want for next season and seasons beyond. So kudos to them. Great job. And, you know, getting an opportunity to talk to some of these kids, and the future continues to be so bright for the organization. And you can see how excited these kids are to be joining an organization that is totally on the upswing. And, you know, when you just get to spend some time out here in Orange County, Newport Beach, like they have, I think that that's motivation for them to go back to their teams and work as hard as possible to know that at some point they may be able to wear that Ducks jersey.
And speaking of Newport Beach and more specifically Marina Park, what's been your favorite part of this whole draft weekend this year?
Well, besides sitting next to you, which has been a rarity for me, so thank you
for
having me. I just think that the whole ambiance of being here at Marina Park on Balboa Peninsula, I mean, I know we weren't on site like in years past, but I think that our site right here, it's been a real success to be able to be this close to the action. We had all the scouts and Pat, and we had the accessibility to them where yesterday we were able to have them come and sit down and tell us their thoughts. And I thought that was a wonderful thing for us to be able to get them in the moment to have their kind of unfiltered thoughts on all the draft picks.
And for me, it's just been, as we're naming off these Ducks selections, just thinking about how these players that the Ducks have selected, they are embarking on just such a fun journey. And I wish them all the best. And I'm going to pair that, Roger McQueen, the Ducks' first pick, 10th overall. Look, he is going all in on just Lightning McQueen and Disney and everything that I think fans are going to appreciate about him, in matching how cool he looks on the ice, how skilled he looks on the ice, to that giant smile just sitting right in the middle of us. He is a young man full of life, and he just looks like he's having a blast.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got the personality to go with the nickname Lightning McQueen, and I think sometimes it's a rarity for those guys because they're young. Sometimes it seems overwhelming, but he certainly is embracing all that has happened in the last 24 hours for him, and I think Ducks fans, I don't know what camera I'm looking at, but Ducks fans are definitely going to fall in love with this young man.
Well, for Guy Hebert, I'm Emerson Edom, and thanks for tagging along with us for this whole process. That is the 2025 NHL Draft presented by Honda. We'll catch you next year.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.